Hello, everyone, and welcome to Scanline Media's Overcast, a podcast we are recording about the recent Overwatch beta. I am Colin Detmar, your host, and I am joined today by Ben Uncle.
Hey there. How's it going?
We were both lucky enough to get into the Overwatch beta for the stress test weekend, last weekend, which... Blizzard betas are not easy to get into. They seem really stingy with those invites, generally speaking.
Yeah, I had spent, the past few months angrily glaring at Twitter as all my friends were getting into the Overwatch beta while I was just left with nothing.
Whereas most of my Twitter friends were just angrily glaring at no one in particular because they didn't know anyone who was getting in. I don't know. Maybe it's just because they have such a big fan base, but their needs aren't usually that great for beta testing. I don't know. What I know is I have been following Blizzard products since Warcraft 3, and this is the first of their beta tests I've ever gotten into. But that said, I've been really interested in Overwatch for a while, and this, you know, was my first chance to get hands-on, and it was for you as well, right?
Yeah, for sure. Until I started playing it, I didn't even know what kind of game it was. I'd kind of assumed from the coverage that it was more of a MOBA-style thing, because those are really in hot they're really hot commodity right now, and Overwatch does a lot to distinguish each and every one of its characters.
I mean, I think I would disagree with hot commodity. Like, there's a lot of that product being released. I haven't really seen a lot of demonstration that there's a lot of interest in an FPS MOBA. I see a lot of people are trying to make them, but I don't know that I've seen any evidence that people want them. I don't know. That's another topic, I guess. So what did you think going in with not actually understanding what this was?
For the first 30 minutes or so, I was really surprised because at first, the very first time I jumped into a match, I think it was a payload-style thing where you're basically, one side is trying to prevent this bomb from getting to their base while the other side is pushing it along by standing near it. And at that point, I was like, wait a second, is this Team Fortress 2? Mm-hmm. And over time, I kind of realized it's very, very similar to Team Fortress 2, but it does enough within the key difference to me is that Team Fortress 2, at the end of the day, you're still playing varied classes, but they all play very similar to one another. Mm-hmm. Whereas Overwatch, from character to character, the abilities are so wildly different, even to the way that you move around, that there's a lot more variety going on.
Well, and I mean, an argument could be made, like, the scout in Team Fortress 2 has a double jump, right? And, like, the soldier or the demo man can use their explosives to do, like, a rocket or grenade jump, right? But that's kind of... Oh, and I guess the pyro can do an air blast jump. But, like, that's the most it gets. Like, I feel like TF2 started the movement in the direction, and Overwatch is a continuation of that movement, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
Of making classes not just like, I mean, going back to like the classics like Battlefield 1942, where your class was just like, okay, then you carry this gun. And then Team Fortress 2 said, well, what if it was more than just your gun? And now Overwatch is saying, what if you're a completely different person? Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I ended up really enjoying the things that they did with the formula that I'm almost exclusively associated with Team Fortress 2 before, like the way that it really does feel in some ways, even though it's not a MOBA, like it took notes from the way that they really go out of their way to differentiate everyone. Mm-hmm. To the point where it's a pretty big roster. 21 heroes is a gigantic roster for a game like this. And they really go out of their way to make you not only want to learn each one of their benefits so you can play them to the fullest, but you also want to forget what the other person can do, what they might be able to pull out at any moment, and that adds a fun layer of strategy on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like I mean, they're willing to give players a lot more power than Team Fortress 2 ever was. Like, Widowmaker, who is the sniper character, like, just has a grappling hook, right? And, like, that's something that they talked about doing in Team Fortress 2, and they eventually, like, they added a mode where there are special maps where you can grapple to, like, specific areas. But Widowmaker can just throw her grappling hook at anything and climb it. And, like, that's, like, other people can get up there sometimes if they have certain abilities, but nobody else has a grappling hook, right? So just, like, the way they've emphasized these characters lends to a power and a mobility that can be really alarming at times, right? Like, I've been shot from, like, when I was first playing, I got used to the idea really quick, which is one thing I think the game does really well. But, like, at one point I got sniped, and, you know, and then it cuts to their perspective, and I was like, how the hell did you get up there? You know? So, okay, I mean, I think a lot of, like, deep analysis of the game is going to have to wait to a certain extent. I have some suspicions of things that I think might turn out to be problems with the game, but based on a day and a half of playing the game, that seems like a really hasty conclusion to draw. So,
for sure.
I'm going to try and hold off on that too much. I guess the one thing I will tease at is I wonder if they don't strike the perfect balance between making characters powerful and making them less powerful. I feel like the way these characters fall in a balance, in a power sort of graph, is a little weird. But which characters did you find interesting?
Well, going in, since I had only really known this game by its art style, and that became very quickly apparent when I started playing, the one that I was super most interested to play in was Tracer. Mm-hmm. Because her character design is just perfect and awesome. But while I ended up enjoying her a bit, it was, she goes down really fast, like she dies almost instantly if you're not really on it and using that rewind power judiciously.
I think she's tied for the least health in the game, so.
Yeah. The ones that I ended up gravitating towards ended up being, what was the name of the mech?
Let's see. D.Va?
Yeah, D.Va. She's, it, the way that she just has this gun that never stops firing alongside, basically, they kind of trade out superpower for the ability to just keep going. Mm-hmm. And so, unlike other first-person shooters where you pretty much die instantly, you have a bit of time to just settle in and hammer away. And even when your mech gets exploded, you have this period where you're basically on your own and on foot trying to not die until your mech comes back. And I did surprisingly well in that form. Like, there were times where I would explode out of it and I would basically pick my moments to just pop out and shoot this other person and just keep going around corners and finding my way through without running into too many people and getting back in the game with my ultimate ability spawning the mech back in, and it basically had a really nice flow of I'm this monster who can stomp around, but now I have to be really stealthy and quick on my feet before I can get back into the really powerful thing.
I felt like I liked the idea a lot, and she turned out to be my favorite character, but I felt like her pilot form is just too weak, and not like, I mean, okay, if you lose your mech, basically there are two ways for you to lose your mech. One of them is for your mech to be destroyed by being, you know, shot. And the other one is for you to use your mech ultimate, which is you bail out and it explodes and does, if they're at all close to it, it's an instant kill. You can wipe their entire team with that thing pretty easily. And if you do the ultimate version, then probably you're going to have your mech back in no time, because as a pilot, her ultimate meter, which summons a new mech, fills up really fast. So if you kill even one person with the old, with the self-destruct, then you're just immediately going to be able to summon a new one. But if you lose your mech because it gets shot, like, unless you get shot out of your mech in a position where you're already, like, close to the edge of a fight, you're now a 150 HP character who has... doesn't move that fast. She moves, like, she moves at a decent speed, but she doesn't move, like, especially fast, and has no ability to be evasive other than just walking. And in my experience, like, if they're still paying attention to you, you basically just instantly die. I really feel like she needs, like, a dash or a dodge roll or something in pilot form.
Maybe cloaking. That'd be cool.
I feel like that's, like, you don't want her to be too good, because, like, the pilot form is, to a certain extent, supposed to be, like, dangerous and make you vulnerable. But just, you know, just give her, like, a Bloodborne, like, dash thing. Just, like, she has inability to dodge an attack she sees coming, but she's still really fragile. I think that's fair, you know?
Yeah.
But as is, it's like either you're going to get away clean because they're not paying attention to you, or they are and you're going to die. And I just feel like that's not a very interesting dynamic. But she is my favorite. Her mech form is really fun, and I really enjoy the fact that she's just a StarCraft II pro who was recruited by the military because they need someone with high APM. Like, that's pretty awesome.
I missed that part. Some sort of backstory thing?
Yeah, that's her backstory, is that they had, like, she is a StarCraft II pro player. I think she's supposed to be the best in South Korea. And then they had this mech program, but their military pilots were not able to pilot the mechs because it's just you need so much coordination and dexterity. So they started hiring gamers.
That's pretty great.
It's pretty, yeah. When you activate her defense matrix, which is the ability where she starts just shooting down all incoming projectiles except for, like, beams and stuff, she says, sometimes time to raise my APM. Like, yeah, it's kind of adorable. Okay, anybody else stand out to you?
I was going to say something positive about McCree, but I just noticed that his belt says BAMF, which, nah, that's pretty lame.
I think he's kind of lame, but he's also kind of, like, he strikes me as, like, a cyberpunk parody of John Marston, which I'm kind of down with. I don't know. Like, I mean, he's got fucking, what was it called in Red Dead Redemption? Was it Deadeye?
I think it's Deadeye, the special ability where you go into bullet time style thing, or?
Yeah, because he's just got that on his super. It's just the exact same thing. I don't know. I think it's kind of hilarious how blatant a copy he is of that, like...
Yeah, his ultimate is even called Deadeye in Overwatch.
Oh, God, really?
Wow. Yeah.
They're just going for it. I don't know. I think he, like, I don't enjoy playing as him because I'm terrible with him. Maybe if I was good with him, I'd enjoy him. But I don't know. I think he's a fun addition to the cast. It seems weird that he has, like, Deadeye feels like it has a lot of overlap with Soldier 76's ultimate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, McCree's ultimate is he locks on to a set number of targets, like, he just holds it, locks on, and then he shoots and they all die. And Soldier 76 just doesn't have to lock on, but he also doesn't instant kill. It's just sort of his gun turns into, like, an alien smart gun for a few seconds. And it seems like those abilities are really similar. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of the problem where... Well, all of these characters have guns, but those are the two gunslinger characters, more or less.
Mm-hmm. Well, except for maybe Reaper, but Reaper does some... I mean, I guess, to your point, like, those are the two characters who, like, they're gunslingers, and their special power is shoot your gun better. And, like, even Reaper, like, you know, has, like, his ghost form and stuff. He has some stuff going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like some characters aren't as exciting as their concept... is, like, I really like Zarya. I always wanted to say Zarya, but it's just Zarya. Who is, like, I guess she's Russian from her accent. She's, yes, I'm looking. She is, in fact, Russian. She is a Russian, like, weightlifter athlete who's got this like mortar gun kind of. And she's really cool. I like her design a lot. In play, she's got like a short range beam. She can fire like grenade like lob shots, and then she can shield herself or shield allies, and then she's got her ult. And it feels to me like she's like one ability short, you know? Like having both of her non-ult abilities be shield seems kind of lame.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
And I feel like that's a problem that happens to a couple of characters, but...
What do you think of Hanzo?
I'm terrible with him. He is... I think he's really cool, and I think he solves some problems, frankly. Like, I don't know about his sort of... So he's like a ninja archer, basically. And so he's got a bow that he can fire long range and do a lot of damage, like a sniper type. He's got his, like, sonar arrows. He's got, like, a special arrow he fires that, like, scatters and ricochets all over the place. And I feel like he punishes camping really hard in a way that's good for the game, right? Like, mm-hmm. his ricochet arrows, if you're just sitting in a room, he fires that in there and you're screwed. If you're hiding around a corner, he can scout you out with the sonar. And if you are all, like, your entire team is just camping one area and turning it into, like, a death trap, his ultimate will eviscerate you if you don't move. Like, his ultimate is really slow. He fires an arrow and it turns into, like, two dragons, like, made out of energy or something. It doesn't exactly... It's not really clear what's going on.
It's like so, that bit in Scott Pilgrim where they hit the turntables and two dragons shoot out, basically.
Yeah, just the two dragons just, like, shoot forward through any terrain. They don't care about terrain. But... They move really slowly. And also, I think every ultimate in the game, when someone activates theirs, their character shouts a phrase, and it, like, the sound design is such that you will hear it. Like, you are guaranteed to hear someone using their ultimate, so you're amply warned. And so, like, if you aren't in a dumb position, if your team isn't all gathered together in a corner trying to lock it down, or if you aren't, like, being distracted by something, he'll fire that ult and you'll just all step out of the way and it's not a problem. But if you're trying to camp, he will make you very sad. And I think that's really good for the dynamics of the game.
Yeah. I had a little bit of experience with Hanzo. I think that I'll do a lot better with him on a controller because there's going to be a bit more... aim assist on a PS4 than it will be on a PC. Otherwise, I'm really bad at landing arrows with the Hanzo.
That's one thing I'm actually kind of worried about, is sort of generally how this game will do. Because we played it on PC. That's what the beta was on. And so we were using mouse and keyboard. And some of these characters, I'm really worried about how they will translate to a controller. Like Pharah, who I played a lot of. I really enjoyed Pharah. I didn't like her as much as D.Va, but I was certainly better with her than I was with D.Va. She is like a lady in like power armor with a jetpack and a rocket launcher. And like when she hits one of her abilities, she just rockets into the sky really fast. And part of what made her work to me was the fact that, like, I mean, you rocket up so fast, but you've got a mouse, so you just instantly swing your rocket launcher down and fire a shot. And, like, it's hard for people to track you because they don't expect you to jump up like that, but you are doing it, so you're expecting it, so you can pull those shots off. On a controller, I'm honestly not sure you could swing your rocket launcher down fast enough. Like... stuff in this game can move so fast that I'm wondering if that will be a problem. Another good example is Tracer. When a Tracer gets up in your face and is blinking and rewinding all over the place, on PC it's hard enough to keep track of her and do damage. If you're using joysticks, it seems like it'd be basically impossible.
Yeah, that I had fought against a few Tracers and It was a nightmare trying to figure out whether she was behind me or in front of me at all times.
Yeah, the really good ones can be really disorienting to fight, and that's with you being able to turn basically as fast as you want to.
Well, you could probably adjust the controller sensitivity, right?
You can, but that's always, like... I don't know, maybe it's one of those things where it's just like, no, you gotta get used to high controller sensitivity with this game or you're gonna be food. Because, like... I feel like always that's the trade-off, right? Is that, like, so you turn up the controller sensitivity a bunch, but then that makes precision really hard, you know?
Yeah.
So it seems... Like, I played Team Fortress 2 on 360, and then I switched to PC. And Team Fortress 2 on 360 was interesting for a couple of reasons. One, they didn't get any of the new items. They just never got them. So it was kind of permanently a vanilla version of that game. Two... The server count, like the number of players per game, was a little bit lower. I think it was 50% lower. And three, just the dynamics of joysticks meant that some classes were better or worse. Snipers were not that good in TF2 on 360. They were, you know, a really talented one, could get some work done, but it wasn't easy. A good spy could get a ton done because you get behind people and you start stabbing with that knife. And people just can't turn around and react fast enough, you know? And it noticeably affected the balance of the game. And I'm curious how that will go between the PC and console versions of Overwatch. I mean, because I can envision a worst-case scenario where I play it on PS4 and I say, this is really cool, but I think I'm going to buy it on PC as well because it just doesn't work this well on console. I really hope that's not the case.
For sure. I will say that I have a little bit of faith in what Blizzard can do with the controller, because Diablo 3 on PS4, they do some really, really smart changes with both the interface and the way that it controls itself. The way that they integrate the dodging and the way that they basically make it more... They basically tailor not just the controls, but the entire game around. They basically found a good way to make that work, like a classic ARPG sort of thing where you're meant to be just clicking nonstop, and they somehow found a way to make that work on the controller, and that's pretty amazing.
Hmm. Okay. Well, yeah, because I mean, certainly with that 360 version of TF2, for a lot of reasons, some of which are Valve's fault and some of which are the console maker's fault, and it's a whole mess, right? But, like, the brutal reality is that version of the game was left to dry, was hung out to dry, like, got kind of screwed. And I certainly think Blizzard will do better by it, because they seem to care more about consoles than Valve does, and also because... I mean, this is the PS4, Xbox One generation, and it's easier than ever to update and make progress on your game on a console. So.
Yeah, it's frightening. It's almost frighteningly easy sometimes.
Yeah, it's a thing. So yeah, other characters, I don't know, I really... went in not expecting to think anything of May, and I really, really enjoyed her. I think, like, of the, like, supporty type characters, she is definitely my favorite.
Yeah, you did some amazing work with your ice wall. Like, there's an ability where you basically can shoot a giant ice wall, which becomes a barrier for a few seconds, and Colin did these amazingly clever things, like, simultaneously clever and really sort of trollish. Like,
I locked people inside houses and walked away.
Yeah.
And really, if I'd thought about it, it would have occurred to me that I would really like May, because I won't dwell on this too much, but in Dota 2, one of my favorite heroes is Earthshaker, whose most notable ability is he slams the ground and creates a wall. And it's like, oh, okay, this character create a wall? I'll probably really enjoy that. But also just her ultimate, where she just creates like a big AoE where everyone just gets like a lot of like damage and then frozen in place. I think at one point we turned a game around that seemed like we were maybe going to lose it when I dropped that on like not all their team, but just about all their team. I think like four of the six members. And then you were playing Pharah and you jumped in the sky and hit your ultimate where she just fires a million little missiles down. And we wiped their team out.
It was pretty great, yeah. It's the kind of teamwork that you kind of rarely see in games like this, at least not in the competitive scene. But hopefully, just like Rainbow Six Siege kind of encouraged a bunch of both console and PC players to use their microphones and actually coordinate, I'm hoping that Overwatch will do the same thing.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm like, yeah, I'm excited to see, like, I mean, there have been a lot of existing organizations in esports who are already forming teams for Overwatch. So they're at least going to try it as an esport. And this is like one of the things that is encouraging to me is this is these organizations on their own saying that they want to do this, right? It's not Blizzard saying, hey, you should all be about Overwatch esports, because we know how that goes.
Yeah.
If you push it too hard, people react really badly. But it seems like people who are serious about esports already are coming to this conclusion on their own, and that's really encouraging.
For sure.
Let me see. Are there any other heroes that we want to specifically call out?
I could talk about someone that I didn't like playing.
Go ahead, please.
I can wrap my mind around Torbjorn. That's probably how you pronounce it. Like,
yeah, it's Torbjorn. That's my understanding anyway. Our friend Johnny could correct us. He says it's Swedish.
it has the Swedish O, so I can believe that. Anyway, the thing about Torbjorn, he's basically a dwarf type character where he's really good with turrets and things like that, and I just couldn't get into the rhythm of placing the turrets in the right places and both nursing them and going out on my own. Like, he felt too fragile on his own, and the turrets didn't feel like they didn't lend themselves to modes that were more mobile, unless you were defending the payload, essentially, from reaching its goal, essentially.
Yeah, it seems like there's basically no reason to ever play him if you're, like, in the beta, there were two modes. There was, like, a capture point, and then there was the payload. And I think the payload mode was way more fun, overall. But if you were on offense, there was no reason to ever play as Torbjorn, because either you were getting beaten back, in which case you wouldn't have time to set up a turret, or you were pushing the payload, in which case your turret would be left behind in no time. It seemed like he really didn't fit into that mode very well at all. And I also think it's notable, as a person who's played a lot of Team Fortress 2, though I will note, not as much as my Steam profile says, because there was a period... Listen, I idled, right? I idled for item drops. I'll admit it. And that is why I have 519 hours in that game. But he compares a lot to the Team Fortress 2 engineer, except for he's way more shootery, right? Like, there is far more expectation with him versus the Team Fortress 2 engineer that he will be moving around, at least to some extent, and shooting with his gun. Whereas, yeah, the Team Fortress 2 engineer kind of wanted to set up a little shop, right? He would drop his turret, he would drop his dispenser, maybe he would drop some teleporters and just hang out there and maintain and use his shotgun when he had nothing better to do. And I think that's a good thing and a bad thing. Like, I think it's neat that he's a more proactive design. And I certainly think that the dispenser in Team Fortress 2 was not great. It was kind of a lame, I don't know, band-aid on that design. But, like, my sister Emily is going to be playing Overwatch. This is the first team. This is the first shooter she's gotten into since Team Fortress 2. She didn't play that much Team Fortress 2, but she played some and she liked it. And she played an engineer. And she played an engineer because she's not good at dual joystick. And she was able to get by, you know, building and maintaining her buildings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if she tries to do that with Torbjorn, she's going to be screwed. And that, like, I get it. But I guess just purely from a personal perspective, as a person who really likes her and wants her to have a good time, that sucks, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I also think, like, the fact that he is so much, like, he and Mercy the Medic are the two designs in that game that are just so completely Team Fortress 2 in a way that's kind of hilarious. I don't know if I think the Torbjorn design is very much better than the Engineer in Team of 2. I will say I think, well, no, even then it's a mixed bag. I was going to say I think Mercy's better than the Medic, but I'm not sure that's true. Mercy is very interesting. And I guess that means I want to talk about Mercy. So Mercy's deal compared to the Medic, she is one of the few characters that has two weapons. She has her normal, like, healing staff, which is just a metagun, right?
Yeah.
And then she's got a pistol that she can switch to. The pistol does more damage. It's kind of like D.Va's pilot form gun, where it's like it does more damage than you'd expect, but it's still not a very good weapon, right? It's mm-hmm. not. If you're using it, then you fucked up. So her staff, you know, heals people, and she has, like, her primary fire is heal, and her secondary fire is buff their damage. And that's kind of interesting. That's certainly different than what TF2 did. And her ult allows her to resurrect people, which is pretty cool. I wonder if, like, the TF2 style, like, Uber charge would have been more potent. Because I've seen situations where the resurrect was really valuable, and I've seen situations where it didn't made a lick of a difference, right?
It's all positioning, basically. The thing with Ubercharge is you're basically pumping up one unit, mm-hmm. but if you happen to be in the right place at the right time as the medic, you can bring your entire team back to life with full health in one move, and that is super valuable.
It's really valuable, but I feel like some situations, I had one game where we went into overtime. We were on, we were attacking, and we went into overtime, and I was playing Pharah, and I got killed, as well as most of my team, and then we got hit by a resurrect. I got killed originally by a turret. And I got resurrected, and I jumped up, and I killed three people, and then the same Bastion turret killed me again. He hadn't moved an inch. He just kept shooting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And part of the point of Ubercharge is that it allows you to break through, like, a really entrenched position. Because as long as you know where it is and when you're going to meet it, it's like, okay, we're going to round this corner, and I'm going to Ubercharge you, and you're just going to take care of that turret. And, like, there are characters who can take care of turrets, but the medic doesn't really enable that at all. Like, the resurrect bought me a little time, but it didn't actually help with the problem. And that's a trade-off, and maybe it's worth it, but I do kind of miss the presence of an Ubercharge-like mechanic.
Yeah. I definitely see what you mean.
But the really cool thing about Mercy, like, the one thing that just makes her great as a design, is one of her abilities, which is that if she points her mouse at an ally and then hits shift, she will just fly right to them. If you can see them, you will fly there. If they're up on a high ledge, doesn't matter. If they're way ahead of you, doesn't matter. And that's just, yes, that is what you want, right?
Yeah, if you want to heal them.
Yeah, it seems like a way to get them in the fight. Like, it was never fun in Team Fortress 2 when you were a medic and, like, either you were trying to heal a scout who runs faster than you and would just get away, or if it was like, I want to heal you, but I don't know how the fuck to get up to where you are. That wasn't good gameplay. And this is way... I like this way better. I think that's really cool.
I could see some cool Mercy slash Widowmaker tag team sort of situation where Widowmaker grapples up to a high spot and Mercy just gets up there too.
And then buffs her damage so that she just... Oh, Jesus. Oh, that's not cool.
You heard it here first. Pro strategies.
I guess. So, I don't know. I guess I could probably talk about every design in this game, but there are none other that I feel like I need to talk about. What about you?
I suppose it might be helpful just to mention the melee characters, because there are a few of those, and I'm kind of torn on whether on how much I like them. Like, I feel like Winston and Reinhardt can be kind of fun to play, but Winston's Tesla gun, his main weapon, is so short range that it barely feels worth it. Mm-hmm. And Reinhardt, it's really easy to basically steer Reinhardt completely wrong and end up super vulnerable. He doesn't have as much health as his intimidating power armor would suggest.
Well, I mean, his shield, right? Like, without his shield, he goes down pretty quick. With Reinhardt, I feel like it's fair, right? Like, Reinhardt is supposed to be played as, like, the slowly advancing wall, and then suddenly he charges when he sees the perfect opportunity. And if you fuck up a charge, you probably should get punished pretty hard, you know? But with Winston, I just didn't feel rewarded for what I was doing a lot of the time. I don't know, I feel like that gun just doesn't, as you say, just doesn't hit hard enough for how close you have to be up on them, you know?
Yeah.
So let's talk very briefly about a little thing from the... they have released two animated trailers so far. and there was... we're not going to talk about those. But the first one, at the end, Winston sort of sends out a recall signal to all the Overwatch agents, and you see a couple of the characters, and then you see a bunch of characters that aren't in the game. And I thought that was pretty interesting. I'm going to break the veneer here, right? On Slack, I sent you a link to this. There's a Overwatch wiki page with just, you know, captured stills from all the characters, and it has been suggested that this is sort of Blizzard kind of like coyly throwing these hero concepts out there to see what people are interested in. And frankly, most of these are whatever. Most of these I don't care. One of them, however, appears to be like sci-fi soldier Beyonce, and I really want that pretty bad. And I guess that transfers into my next point, which is like, this game is like, unlike Team Fortress 2 came out, and then like occasionally there were people being like, oh, they're going to announce a 10th class, and of course they never did, because why would they? But it is the express plan in this game that they're going to keep adding characters. And like, what hero concepts do you want to see, and also what niches do you think remain unfilled, right? Like, what kinds of abilities could this game use that aren't in it right now?
That's a really tough question to answer, because I feel like the way that you already have 21 heroes, and it's enough of a challenge to keep them all balanced, especially as people come up with new strategies and Blizzard will have to pick and choose from that. I mean, to try and basically buff and nerf them to keep them competitive. But, I'm trying to think of something that they could add. I'd be cool with a fully stealth character. I feel like they could do some really cool stuff with that.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there are any stealth characters right now, really. I mean, there are characters who probably don't want to be seen because they'll die fast, but no one has any, like, invisibility or concealment mechanics right now, right?
Yeah.
And that seems like there's an opportunity there, for sure. I mean, I don't know, just, like, without having to think too hard about the mechanics of it, I mean, as anime as this roster is, you should really just give me a pop idol. You should just do it. I'd be down with that.
That sounds like it would play well with Blizzard in general, too. Like, the way that they're trying to... It's very much a universal sort of game where not only are they trying to create a lot of diversity in playstyles and locations, but they also seem to try and... They also seem like they're trying to find things that will play well to all sorts of demographics, like the Korean mech pilot, and
yeah, I mean, like not just demographics. Like a lot of them are represented. Like we have people here from like Korea, China, Japan, France, Sweden, America, Egypt. Not just that though, right? Like also, like okay, I'm looking at this roster, and it's like okay, there's Chip, there's Chappie from that fucking robot movie. There's Hattori Hanzo. There's a dude from a Mad Max movie. There's some lady from a Korean MMO. There's like a weird dwarf man. Here's like a DC Comics sniper. Like, here's Reaper, who is apparently supposed to appeal to like 13-year-old goths. I don't like the visual design is all over the place, but not in like a way that feels disjointed. It just feels like they're going for a real breadth of concepts. And yeah, like just fucking give me a magical girl or something. Go for it. Have fun with this, right?
Yeah.
And I guess ultimately that's my biggest takeaway is just like they're gonna add more to it and just have fun with it. Don't get too worried about I don't suspect they will, given the writing in their games, but making it all tie together in a way that makes sense, because it already doesn't. Why are these Mad Max people in this world that is full of high tech? Like, what? Why? Because it's cool. Screw it. You know?
Yeah. And they've already shown that they really like to have fun with these characters. Like, their lines and the way that they play with one another is very fun-loving and humorous, and that works really well as a thing that propels you forward rather than okay, I feel like we haven't made any comparisons towards Battleborn yet, which it's they are different games. Like they are one's a MOBA and one's a shooter now. I get that, but
one's dog shit and one seems like it's gonna be alright.
But yeah, there's the big difference between Battleborn and Overwatch is Battleborn feels snarky and quippy, while Overwatch feels really earnest in its humor. Like,
and I mean, Battleborn, honestly, like, I'll try not to get too mean about it because I don't have a lot of respect for that game, but Battleborn feels like it was born out of a boardroom meeting, you know? Battleborn doesn't feel like it was a project that people were like, oh, we just have to make this. We're just so passionate about it. It feels like the people who made Borderlands said, oh, I hear MOBAs are big. And Overwatch seems like it's a passion project to an extent. Like, I don't think they're entirely making this for the love of the game, but clearly they like these characters, you know?
Yeah, they want to do right by them, as silly as that sounds for a competitive shooter where the writing has not been super great with anything outside of the dialogue, but
yeah.
It's the difference between someone going, give me 3, 1, 2, 6, shit, versus versus basically Tracer joking about what's his name? I think she was joking about Reinhardt taking up all the space at some point.
I got a good like I got a good comp. I think it was between Mercy and D.Va. I actually got this one a couple of times because I played a lot of D.Va. But it was like, I think like Mercy was like, "You're such a young girl to be on this battlefield." And D.Va just immediately was like, "Who are you calling a girl?" Like, watch it. And it's like that, you know, it's a little moment, but it adds a lot of character.
Yeah.
And I think you don't really need more than that. You need little bits of character. And I think the whole thing will just cohere.
For sure. And that's pretty much all I have to say about Battleborn.
And we could probably say more about Overwatch if we wanted to, but I think for now, for having only played a day and a half of it,
yeah,
this is a pretty good place. So thanks so much, everybody, for joining us. You can find this podcast on iTunes at Scanline Presents if you want to give us a rating or review. And if you want to tell a friend about us, we'd really appreciate that, too. Word of mouth is really the only way our material gets around. If you like the work we did here, me and Ben and also our friend Johnny write for a website called Scanline Media at scanlinemedia.com. We do podcasts and video games criticism in general. And we also have a Patreon if you want to contribute at patreon.com/scanlinemedia. Any money you give us will go towards hardware or software to help us keep covering games. None of it goes to people's pockets because at the moment, at least, we're not doing any of this for profit. And we're really grateful for the time you took to listen to us. And until next time, this is Colin Detmar with Ben Uncle, and we're getting out of here.
See ya.